time or your energy or your resources to other people, what a positive effect it has on your mindset and your psyche. And it was really an interesting conversation. And, you know, Tony came from such a terrible, terrible background as a child. He went through really a lot of terrible experiences. He had three fathers. And it shows what you can do when you make up your mind, you're going to change your life. And Jim Rohn really had a major effect on it. And Jim Rohn, I think I quoted him this week, a great... Is Jim still with us, or did he pass? I can't remember.
No, he's gone. Yeah, no, he's passed.
Well, you know, you read so many of these marvels about these parents, you still think everybody's still with you, because it's like reading something they wrote yesterday. It's like when Jack introduced us to the Meditations of Marcus Aurelius on YouTube. I've heard that so many times, and different readers read his meditation, and you just think that was, he's still with us. That was 2,000 years ago they were written. But anyway, I see our president is here. It's his meeting. So, Greg, your show. I'm just a pretty face.
Well, Jerry, maybe if you want, just because you mentioned Tony Robbins there, and, you know, you wrote there was a great audio that you sent out this midweek with John, with Tony Robbins, and you know, you were talking about the courage to take action. And I'd like you to maybe just take a few minutes, because it's going to tie into what I'm going to be talking about today, which is persistence. But do you want to just expand your thoughts on that? Because I thought the audio was exceptional as usual. Tony just speaks with such clarity.
Well, I will. I'll just take a few minutes. You know, I admire these men and women who have really taken the time to really want to be of service to other people by their consistent reading and doing their best at whatever they've chosen to do. In fact, I'm involved a little bit with one of Tony Robbins' programs called the Fountain Life Health, and it's all about longevity and good health. And I like the fact that people stretch themselves, try a little bit harder. I'm disappointed when people just the same old, same old, same old, same old. You know, the old story, if you don't change, the world doesn't change. You have to change to make something happen to you for the better. You have to. And if you can't get out of your comfort zone, well, then you can't expect anything different. I'm trying to get the saying, it goes like something like this: if you don't change, nothing changes. Tony Robbins is a very good example of what personal excellence is all about, giving your best all the time. That doesn't mean you win all the time, but mentally you win all the time because you're in control of your thinking. You're in control of your reactions. You know, not everything works the way you want it to go. In life, personal health, happiness, success, everything takes your energy and your commitment. But we all know some simple rules that are profoundly powerful. We all know that our courage is never the absence of our fears. Courage is our actions in spite of those doggone fears that just seem to hold us back all the time. Courage, that's all it is. It's action, our personal action. And if you're willing to stretch out and do a little further and try a little harder and stick with it. I was listening. In fact, I'm thinking about sending it out to that portion of that interview with Elon Musk, with the 60-minute interviewer after the third rocket had crashed, and he was asked, you've almost lost all your money from Tesla, and Tesla was almost broke, and you spent all the money you made from PayPal. As you know, he was in the inventors of PayPal. Did you ever think of giving up? And he teared up. Not the 60 Minutes guy, but the Elon Musk, and he said, I never quit. I just don't quit. And I think that's the mark of any person who's really successful, Greg, in anything in life, whether it's a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, whatever the role is you're playing at that time. I don't mean playing, but you're involved with. If you don't give up, you will never lose. You will always end up on the high end. Whatever that high end happens to be, whether it's raising children, getting your health back, whether it's being successful in business, whether it's in academia, whether it's doing whatever it is you want to do, you will always come out on the high end. That doesn't mean you'll always win the gold, whatever they call the gold ring, but you will always be in the highest end, and you will always seem to have that extra energy to be able to keep on keeping on. And Jack, you're a good example of that. And John O'Keefe, you're a very good example of that after all these years. And many of you on this call are an example of refusing to quit. You have that, the word is tenacity. You have that stick-to-itiveness. You have that refusal to quit. And just listening to Angela Duckworth, who wrote that amazing book, she's a PhD psychologist, and she wrote that amazing book called, Sylvia, have you read it, Grit? Powerful book. And it's just about all her studies, years and years, 10 years of studies she put out, research. And the bottom line is, it's not IQ, it's not experience, it's not education, it's not intelligence. The what makes people successful is one thing. And what's that, John O'Keefe?
Persistence.
Persistence. Give me another word for persistence, Sylvia.
Stick-to-itiveness, that's not one word, but...
Okay, we'll make it one word. We'll just put a hyphen in there. Stick-to-itiveness. But what does Angela Duckworth call it, Ruth? Ruth, well, she's... Her picture's there.
I'll answer for Ruth. Grit.
Grit. Just that dogged determination that just won't give up. It's an amazing human quality that is an extraordinary balance to take you to a level of excellence that you've never been before if you have the inner strength, courage, determination, grit, stick-to-itiveness, whatever word you want, that you just don't quit on anything. Because if you quit, most of the time what you're really doing is quitting on yourself. And you feel kind of crappy anyway if you quit on yourself. You just hang in there. And you tough it out, and it's amazing what your whole mindset, body set, health set, and soul set lifts to a higher level of excellence. So that's what sort of we were writing about when I listened to Tony Robbins, and I sent it out to all of you and his thoughts. Back to you, Greg.
Well, there were great thoughts, Jerry, and it ties into what I want to talk about this morning, which is persistence. And John, you know, someone that can really start us off on these thoughts, on what that means to you, I can't think of a better person. After working with you for 30 years, one of your super strengths is that you have that persistence attitude. You just never, never give up attitude. Do you want to share your thoughts, John?
Well, I thought I'd start just by reading some quotes from Brian Tracy on persistence. Luck is predictable. The harder you work, the luckier you get. Never consider the possibility of failure. As long as you persist, you'll be successful. Your persistence is, in fact, the true measure of your belief in yourself and your ability to succeed. Each time that you persist in the face of adversity and disappointment, you build the habit of persistence. You have to put in many, many, many tiny efforts that nobody sees or appreciates before you achieve anything worthwhile. There is one prevailing key to success. Do what you resolve to do. Then you'll be a success. If you can discipline yourself to follow through on your promises to yourself, your self-esteem goes up. Persistence is self-discipline in action. Self-discipline is a foundation of self-confidence. Perhaps the greatest display of self-discipline is persisting when the going gets tough. Persistence is self-discipline in action. Persistence is the great measure of individual human character. Persistence is self-discipline in action. I think I said that. Persistence is the measurement of your belief in yourself. Implement your plans with courage and persistence. Have complete faith in your ability to succeed and never ever give up. Back to you, Greg.
Well, nice way to start this call today, and we're going to talk about the persistence of 101, Napoleon Hill's formula for unstoppable effort. It says, without persistence, there is no victory. comes with one shot. It takes time and time again. Most people can't seem to handle that. They throw in the towel saying that it's not possible for them. That's a tragedy. In the space between you and your goals is the process, the long haul, the work. It's not easy. Nothing worth doing is easy. No great achievement is worth on a bed of roses. It takes grit. Persistence is the essence of that. Persistence is the final piece in the formula for success, because without it, your efforts will always fall short. Success is a numbers game. The law of averages don't work if you only try once. Napoleon Hill, one of the pioneers of the personal development movement, illustrated what it takes to be persistent and breaks it down into 8 components. Persistence isn't just some elusive state of mind. It is the sum of many universal parts and therefore can be crafted by anyone. The only break anyone can afford to rely upon is self-made break. They come through the application of persistence. I want, maybe Sylvia, just to respond to what I just read about Napoleon Hill.
Well, if you haven't read Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, it is a must read for anyone that wants to learn more about themselves and what makes us have success. Because he studied 500 of the most successful, mostly men at that time, because it was in the early 1900s and women were still mostly at home looking after babies and not doing as much as we are these days. But near the end there, you talked about success is, it's a self-made grade. And there's, for me, it's when you understand the laws of the universe and how the intelligence of the life force that flows with and through each and every one of us works, you start to realize that you do get rewarded when you stay on track and stay focused on success and growth and achieving what it is you're out to accomplish. So many people that have never really tried hard at anything, that spend hours and hours of their life watching other people have their success. People that watch a lot of sports or watch a lot of, I personally love music, I like sports as well. And truly, we all see when someone does a great job, into my mind jumps figure skating. You see a person or a couple that do this wonderful figure skating. There's a joy within yourself for somebody else's success. And I think that's also your higher self calling you to have some success in your life, because we're all meant to grow. And so when you pick a goal, an achievement that you want, that you're dedicated to, that is very important to, that you're willing to do a Tony Robbins and walk across fire to get to, life will reward you. But, you know, and if you listen to Tony's the recording, right now you could say we're having some bad times. But as Tony says, bad times create strong people. It's when we're not really struggling, but yet we are digging deep to do more, to be more, to get through a challenge where we really grow. And then life rewards us for that. It's a hard thing because it's an unseen thing. And until you believe in the unseen, you're going to continue struggling or not having the things that you want. But within that intelligence of the universe that flows with and through us, what I call life force, you might call God, you could call energy, there is an intelligence that rewards us in some way, shape, or form. So your success is always self-made. People, I remember, I think it may be in one of Napoleon Hill's books, but there's a terrific pianist, and somebody said, oh, I would love to do that. And she said, no, you wouldn't. And the person kind of looked at her, and she said, you're not willing to put in the hours and hours of practice that I've put in. And so many people are called an overnight success. Before they had that overnight success, if you read enough books about people that have succeeded in a great way, you will realize to get that success, they have had persistence. They have stuck with it. If you don't, going back again, and I'll end with this, Bob Wood used to say, he would hold up an acorn in his seminars, and he'd say, within this acorn is a pattern plan for an oak tree. It has no choice. It can only grow into an oak tree, but if it is planted and in the right environment and it has all the things necessary for it to grow, it will grow into a great oak tree. And they never stop growing until something happens that causes it to have decay. But it will grow to be the greatest tree it ever could be. And within each one of us is a pattern plan for success. The problem is we don't decide. One day we want to be an oak tree, one day we want to be a rose, the next day we want to be something. People don't pick an idea, pick a goal and stick with it. And part of your persistence is that, sticking to a goal that you truly want. And in our, you know, the great thing about Landmark is we help to give people some goals to get started. Getting your, you know, $8,000 every 4 weeks when you first start so you can get that $700 bonus. Writing $30,000 in a quarter so that you can double your residual income, your future income. Getting 70,000 points in a certain amount of time so that you can go on a great trip. But within you, there are other desires, and all that stands between you and achieving those desires is, number one, deciding what you want. Number two, giving up what is no longer not going to serve you to get that, like maybe time watching TV or time eating too much, drinking too much, whatever. And then three, just get on with the work and stick to it. And if you have a desire on your heart and you just say, I'm going to do it, and you stick with it, it's only a matter of time before it will become real. And that's the only thing, as Bob would say, that we're always a little bit off. Sometimes we give ourselves too much time. Sometimes we don't give ourselves enough time. But if you don't put a date on a goal, then you don't have that sense of urgency. But it is your persistency that will give you your success in all areas of life. Back to you, Greg.
Well, Sylvia, you really speak from experience and wisdom. I mean, you walk your talk. You live this, you understand this, and validate this. And I appreciate everyone that's listening to this. I hope you're taking some notes. Maybe there's things here that you've already heard before, but there's nothing like validation, reassurance of what we already know. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, Sylvia. And I'm going to have Jack, I'd like you to speak to this, because we're going to drill down on these eight steps. And step one is definite a purpose. A strong motive forces want to surmount many difficulties. This is the first piece, and arguably one of the most important when it comes to persistence. You have to have something worthy to persist for. What is your purpose? What is your dream? Is it clear or is it hazy and undefined? The clearer your purpose, the sharper your focus on what it is that you desire, the easier it will become to persist through any and all adversity. He who has a why to live for can bear almost any how. Everything starts with purpose. Have one. Jack, can you speak to that?
Sure. As I was explaining before the call got started, I really kind of dove into Tony Robbins yesterday, and there's a lot that he talks about that is so in line with this, like your purpose, how you see yourself, not the things that you want, but the things that you need in your life, the goals and the definite purpose that you have for your actions will motivate you to do it. If you want something, it's easy to choose that you might not do it. You can put it off, you can delay it, but when you need how you see your entire being, it becomes a lot clearer as to what is needed in order to achieve that. And realizing that gives you clarity, and it gives you the drive to push through challenges and problems. And in one of the podcasts we talked about is one of people's biggest problems is feeling like they shouldn't have problems. Life, you're meant to have challenges in life. If you don't, you're dead. If there's nothing coming at you that is meant to push you, to help you grow, because, you know, it's one thing I don't like to do, but it's very in line with what he talked about, is disagree with Jerry. There's always change. Everything is always change. Your goal is to progress. Your goal is to become a better version, more capable version of what it is you are today. By the end of the day, not by tomorrow, because if you wait till tomorrow, as soon as today ends, today starts. And tomorrow is once again tomorrow, and you're procrastinating in perpetuity. You will never have tomorrow arrive as the day where you wake up and say, it's tomorrow. So making the desire to identify exactly who you want to be in your life, it's not about waiting for a New Year's resolution. It's not about waiting for circumstances to change. It's about identifying where you know you need to be and taking the steps now to get there as soon as possible. And as one of the things that Tony Robbins said that I love is condense decades into hours. What can you do now that will progress you at the most rapid rate to the person that you see yourself being as your ideal self? And every time you take a step towards it, and you close a certain gap that is a weakness in your life, another area becomes the focus because your standards have risen. So focusing on that growth and determining exactly what it is you need in your life, the identities that you have carried, and the purpose for your actions will make it a lot clearer as to what it is you need to do. And the biggest point that I'll end on is the biggest lie we've been told is that difficulty in life is something you should avoid. Parents always raise their kids to never want them to suffer, never want them to face challenges, and that has made weak people. As the podcast started, tough times make strong people. When times are really good and you can give someone everything they wanted without having to work for it, you have starved that person of their potential. So challenge yourself to face things that you never wanted to face. Live in the discomfort now so you can become comfortable in that discomfort. Thank you.
Well, Jack, your thoughts are bang on. You got to listen to Tony more often. He seems to tune you in really good. He's, I can understand you really do walk your talk, Jack, and well-respected. You really have clarity, and you can tell when someone has clarity. You just walk different. You talk different. You sound different. And when it comes to persistence, Jack, I have so much, I think we all have respect for you. From when you started your career to the leader that you're becoming today, you really are a great example of validating that, what you just shared. So thanks for sharing your thoughts. And I'm going to go to Ruth, because Ruth, I want you to speak to this. Desire. Desire is the starting point of all achievement. Not a hope, not a wish, but a keen, pulsating desire which transcends everything. We go after something because we want it. Desire is a fuel that anyone can exploit. Therefore, if you have a dream you want to make real, find ways to enhance your desire for it. Imagine it. Envision it every morning. Write it out in detail. Act as if you already have it. Fill yourself with that excitement for whatever it is you want, and then go for it. Can you speak to that?
Hi. Can you hear me?
I sure can, Ruth.
You know, I don't know. There's a book, and it's called
a magnificent obsession. There's, I think, a recording about a magnificent obsession. And I just love the word magnificent obsession, because when you want something fervently and so badly that you think about it all the time, that's an obsession. And when you start out in this new path in life, the possibilities are endless. And if you sit down, as everybody asks you to, and spend time with yourself and explore what you really want, like Jerry says, the why of Simon Sinek, and listen to Simon Sinek, listen to these books and these authors and these recordings that we have to help you to say, a month from now, where do I want to be? A year from now, where do I want to be? 10 years from now, where do I want to be? And you spend time with it, so therefore you think about it. It starts to become a habit. The next thing you know, you think about it regularly. The next thing you know, you're obsessed with it. And even when there's other things going on, it's still there in your mind and present, and it's in a positive expectancy that good things are going to happen. And then you just go and grow. Because obviously you can't have those things right now, whatever they are in your life, if you don't have them, if they have not manifested, it's because you haven't spent time with them, you haven't clearly defined them. And so, you know, there's all kinds of, when you read these books and you got your top five goals, you put it on a little piece of paper, or you put it on a goal card, like Bob Proctor always, little business size card, put it in your pocket, touch it, you know? You want to think about having more money, put some money in your wallet and touch it and see it and feel it in your pocket. The last thing before you go to bed is you reflect on your day and you look with positive expectancy about those things at the end of this year. Oh boy, at the end of this year, I'm so excited because I'm going to have this. In order to get that, I've got to do this. In order to do that, I've got to go to bed so I can get up early. And so you say that to yourself going to bed. And then in the morning, it's a brand new day. It's a new opportunity. Just like Jack was saying, there's no past or future, there's only the present. And the present is always there, and every day we have the opportunity to make the most out of our day. And then that day is gone, and we have only tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, not in the future. Getting that all confused, but I think you understand. So to spend time and make goals. And in order to make those goals, realize what those plans are that you need to make, so that the actions that you take are taking you towards that. Robin Sharma is pretty famous for that. What five things can you pick out in your own life today that you can do to help you to achieve your goal? And if you're thinking about those things instead of, oh gee, it's not coming to me, it's a way better way to think, because your brain will look for ways to find the answers when you say, how can I, instead of saying, why is it? If you ask, why is it, your brain is going to look for answers for that, and it might not be the right answer. So read a good book, listen to a recording, listen to Jerry, listen to you, listen to all our mentors, and go and have fun, and don't worry, be happy.
Well, Ruth, you really do live that, you know. You really are someone that has a passion for success. You inspire people. The way you work with people, the way you respond to life situations, and you're an inspiration to all of us because of your leadership by example. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, Ruth. And I'm going to go to Christian, I'd like you to speak to this. Self-reliance. Being in one's ability to carry out a plan encourages one to follow the plan through with persistence.
being able to depend on yourself to get things done is a powerful ingredient to success. It is important to be able to ask for help. But at the end of the day, you and you alone are the one building your future. Believing in yourself keeps you from your own worst enemy. It is the start of greatness. The understanding of self-worth is the beginning of progress. That's from Jim Rowan. Can you speak to that?
Can you hear me, Greg?
Sure can, Christian.
Yeah, great conversation so far today. You know, really the limits that we place on our life are self-imposed. We kind of paint the lines that we live in. And that it stems from what we believe that we're capable or incapable of doing. We cannot act out of line with what we think we're capable of doing. You know, if we really believe that we're shy people and that, you know, we're not social, then we're not going to go to parties. We're not going to meet new people. We're not going to step out into that uncomfort because we don't believe that's who we are. It's out of line with our self-image. And a lot of that comes from growing up. It comes from people who, you know, said things at one point and you just kind of believed that and you became self-conscious about it. It's funny, but when I was younger, my sister said that I laughed like a girl. And, you know, for like years, I was self-conscious about my laugh. And I finally, you know, I guess I was laughing with somebody and I brought it up and they said, no, you don't laugh like a girl. What are you talking about? And this thing that I carried with me for so long really was just my sister probably, you know, wanting to make fun of me or, you know, wanted to put me down for a moment. And, you know, we carry a lot of these things with us that shape the way we see ourselves interacting with the world. How much of it is real? How much of it is just something that we've thought on repeat, repeat, repeat? And if we can really examine those things, a lot of what we make up about our negative self-image isn't really true. It was a moment, it was an act, you know, it was an event. It wasn't who you are, but yet you've made it a part of who you are. And if you can kind of eliminate those parts of your self-image, you kind of free yourself. You push those limits further of what you're capable of doing. And when you act, and you do something that what you thought was maybe not who you were, if you can kind of look at that self-image a little differently, and you can realize that it isn't a truth about yourself, it isn't an objective truth, it's a subjective truth, it's just what you thought about yourself, and you can kind of, you know, make an action that is now different, and you learn. It's like, okay, wow, I am capable of doing that. It builds this self-confidence within you that now new challenges that come your way, you look at differently. And when they show up in your life, you realize that you're capable of handling them. And maybe they're smaller challenges at the beginning, and as you grow as a person, you realize you're capable of taking on more and more challenges. But often, really, it boils down to how we view ourselves. And so, you know, I find that, and we talk about it often, I talk about it a lot, but you know, reading biographies and people that have accomplished amazing things, it humbles me because it makes me realize that they're just people. You know, they had bullies growing up. They had maybe influences in their life that were negative. They weren't perfect people, and yet they were able to overcome challenges. Whatever those challenges were, however they presented themselves, they were capable of overcoming them. And why not me? Why can't I? And it just gives me the hope that even though maybe I may not be where I want to be, I can get there. If I just continue to take action and have courage, I will learn. I will grow. I will get better. And as we go through that process of having the courage to do it, even when we're anxious or fearful, that is the building of the self. That is the building of our self-image. We see ourselves as somebody who is capable because we do difficult things. And as we do hard things and we survive them and we do better than we thought we would, we grow in the sense of what we think we can accomplish and our vision grows. And all of a sudden, the lines that we painted in our life start to disappear, and you realize that, hey, why am I creating this self-limiting thought? You can start to identify those self-limiting thoughts, cast them aside, and choose to do that thing anyway, even though maybe you might fail. And if you do fail, you have a healthy enough self-image to know that it is just a moment. It is just an event. It is not your personhood. You don't carry that burden with you for the rest of your life, because you're going to get up and you're going to do it again, and you're going to try. I just want to recognize Eileen today because, you know, this week we had a great work week, a week working together, and talking about stepping outside of your comfort zone. We had a good referral from the client that she wrote on Wednesday, and, you know, we were talking. She said, oh, maybe I'll call them tomorrow. And I said, well, what if you just call them now? And she called, she booked the appointment, and she wrote a fantastic business owner there last night, had a really good meeting, got referrals out of it. And that came from stepping outside of her comfort zone. It's where you grow, and I'm really proud of her, and I appreciate all the thoughts on the call today. I'll send it back to you, Greg.
Well, Christian, thanks for sharing that great story about Eileen, and also, let's take a... On the same vein, Eileen, I also want to acknowledge you on behalf of Landmark. You hit your, you know, first year we set milestones for you, and you hit your milestone 3 this past week, too. So you were supposed to write $7,500 in a four-week period, and you did over $8,000 worth of business. So, Eileen, I'd like to hear your thoughts on you acknowledging that you hit your milestone 3. How do you feel about that, Heidi?
I feel pretty good about it. I worked pretty hard to get that last one. So, I appreciate the leadership that I have in the company. You know, I got to talk to you, Greg, and with I've called Ian a couple times, and Christian always. I talk to him 10 times a day some days. So I just really appreciate the guidance and, you know, putting the time into helping me be better as a person and as a Landmark agent. So I'm just very appreciative of it, and I look forward to getting the next one too.
Well, Eileen, we admire you. We respect what you're doing. You really are a great inspiration of what can happen when you put your trust in the leadership, and more importantly, you take the action. You have the courage to step out of your comfort zone, learning new skills, and you're really an inspiration. So thanks for your success. You did the work. You know, Christian appreciates your calls, trust me. He appreciates when you're calling, because you're always asking new questions, how to handle different situations. And we love that. We love when people are committed to their craft. So great job, Eileen. And I'm going to go to Joel. Joel, I'd like you to speak to this. Definiteness of plans. Organized plans, even though they may be weak and entirely impractical, encourages persistence. Have you ever looked at something such as class syllabus or a project you have to complete by deadline and feel the vein of doubt set in? I sure have. It's that overwhelming feeling of, holy crap, how will I get out of this? The solution to that is chunking, breaking it into small, manageable parts. And before you can do that, you need to have a plan. What will you do? When will you do it by, and how? Having organized plans is a catalyst for action. It takes much of the fear and doubt out of even enormous tasks. Knowing the objective and the steps that will take you there. As I once heard in a writing panel, there's the 6 P's. Proper planning prevents piss poor performance. A little uncouth, but true. A goal without a plan is just a wish, more elegant. It doesn't have to be refined down to the smallest detail. Even a broad idea can help. Just knowing the major posts along the way, have a plan.
Can you speak to that, Joel?
Absolutely, Greg. Can you hear me better here now? Or?
I've heard you. I hear you perfectly.
Okay, great. Having that plan, we talked about this on Monday. It's almost like the thread that guides you through the day. When you have a set plan, when you start to put into an action, and things, and you feel, off, you feel like, too tired, or I don't feel right, or something like that, and your brain, that little 5-year-old in your brain is trying to tell you, don't do this, and don't call that person, or don't work today, or fill in the blanks. Having that plan helps you overcome those obstacles because it's something that you need to do, you need to accomplish. It gives you a place to go. It helps those uncertainties in your mind and overcome those uncertainties in your mind. But as you mentioned, the first thing you need to do is you need to have that plan. You can't enact a plan if you don't have one. If you don't have goals, if you don't have something that you want to accomplish, you're not going to have if you don't have that goal, you're not going to have that plan. If you don't sit down and write out that plan, you're not going to have a plan. A lot of people have dreams. Oh, I'd like to have renewals. I'd like to have a P&L. I'd like to have write $150,000 or $250,000 in business. Okay, that's great. But if you don't have, so that's nice to have a dream. It's nice to have a goal. But if you don't sit down and write up that plan, how am I going to accomplish this? Okay, it averages $150,000 is $3,000 in business every week, for example. Well, okay, I need to average $3,000 in business every single week. So it means in this quarter, I need to write X amount of money. 3,000 times 13 is what, 39,000, I think? So I need to write 39,000 by the end of this quarter. Okay, great. I'm behind on my goal because maybe I took a week off. Okay, now I know I need to accomplish an additional little bit of business. So setting it into chunks that are manageable, because 150,000 sounds like a ton of business. But as you said, breaking it down into the small little chunks make it a lot more manageable. Then understanding and saying, okay, now how am I going to accomplish that $3,000 in business? That's my goal every week. That's great. What's my law of averages? How am I going to do all the done? How many presentations do I need to do to write a piece of business? Okay. Then you break it down to a daily basis. If I need to do this many presentations per day, closing this many times to be able to accomplish this. So then it becomes an effort goal as well. So all it takes a goal that goes from 150,000 in business, which seems like a huge, huge thing, dropping it down to, today I just need to go ahead and do 5 presentations. And when you break it down into manageable goals, it helps your mind, it helps the fear that kicks in, it helps the lack of confidence that sometimes people have, and you can, when you start accomplishing that, okay, I did 5 presentations today, check, boom, you've accomplished something. And when you accomplish something, your body loves and craves success, and when you have success, it's so much easier to do the next day and say, okay, I had a great day today, I'm going to have another great day tomorrow, and you repeat and you build on that. And making it small and manageable makes a big goal so much easier to accomplish. I'll throw it back to you, Greg.
Well, thanks for your thoughts, Joel. And you're another great example. You know, for years and years, you finish in the company, number one, number two, number three. Maybe, I don't know if you're ever number four in the company. Maybe you have been. But you've been so consistent because you really, had a plan. You knew what you were worth per call, per approach, per presentation. You took the emotion out of the business. You trusted your plan and you worked your plan. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, Joel. And I'm going to go to Amy. Amy, I'd like you to speak to this. Accurate knowledge. Guessing instead of knowing destroys persistence. Knowing that what you are doing, your method, is sound, works wonders for action. It signals to you, subconscious mind, that you have a darn good chance. And if that's the case, why not try harder then?
knowing why you're doing something is just as important as knowing what you are doing. Do the research. Ignorance isn't bliss. It's merely delayed misfortune. Can you speak to that?
Yes, thank you. Good morning. And I love this call because persistence, I think I'm the princess of persistence. Because I just try and I try and I try again. But accurate knowledge is, the system is the equalizer. Because this provides accuracy like a sharp double-edged sword. Because when I walk up to someone and I say, hi, my name is Amy, I know exactly what I'm saying. I'm telling them where I'm from, why I'm here, and what the urgency is, and why they need it. And I get the book open. It provides accurate information. And, when I do my job with accuracy and keeping on track, then that truly brings results. And providing accurate information, I've been asking Sylvia questions, John questions, Joel questions, because things arise. And I'm so proud of myself, truly I am, because I've delivered some tremendous sickness programs and on delivery. And I'm really proud of myself because that was an area where I was struggling maybe 6 to 8 months ago, 6 months ago, 5 months ago. And just being persistent in sticking with the track and then calling upon my leadership and getting the clear answers and being very accurate, that provides such a valuable service for our clients. And I tell the clients when I meet with them and I meet with the wives, I say, here's my number. Please call me if you have any questions. And of course, I know in my mind that these gentlemen that are in the high-risk trades, their wives will be calling me at some point in time, or they'll be calling the 1-800 number. They will be putting in a claim. I do know this. And providing this accurate information and sticking to the track, I hope I answered your question. I hope I provided value, but I will throw it back to you. Thank you for calling up on me.
Well, Amy, you're great to speak of that because I know how hard you work. I hear from everybody, and they all admire your persistence. You're constantly learning and reassuring. You know, you just have that. You could write a book on persistence. I just watch you in action, and we admire you for your tenacity and the attitude you do it with. I think that's what we all admire you with, too, because you do it with such a positive attitude. I'm sure there are days where you don't feel like a superstar, but yet, in spite of that, you do what needs to be done in spite of how you feel. So, nice job, Amy, for sharing your thoughts. And I'm going to go to Betty. Betty, I'd like you to speak to this. Cooperation. Sympathy, understanding, and harmonious cooperation with others tend to develop persistence. Why is this? Because no matter what your goal is, it isn't in vacuum. You need others to make it happen. You don't become a great leader on your own, not without people to lead. You don't become a published author on your own. You need agents, beta readers, editors, and audience, and so on. One of the lessons one of my mentors learned from his military service is this. Life is a team sport. If everyone moving forward together, then success takes care of itself. And that was by Henry Ford. In learning to work well with others, you remove a major obstacle from your path. Friction with other people involved in your dream process. Furthermore, when people work together, the sky is the limit. Willpower. Willpower is the basis of perseverance. Being able to concentrate all your power on whatever it is you're going after is a powerful tool. Focus creates action, and a strong will to do something creates focus. People won't do everything they can. but people will do everything they will. Great heart will not be denied. Willpower helps you grind out the dream even when it gets tough. Can you speak to that, Betty?
Well, holy moly, Greg, that's a lot. And one thing I definitely know is an author I will never be. So it's hard to remember what all you said, especially with my short-term memory issues. But, as John always says, surrounding yourself with positive people, and there's so many positive people in Landmark that are definitely there to help you. And believing in yourself, I think, is huge. And boosting confidence and your habits give you the drive to be stronger and more confident. And you can definitely reach out to anyone that's going to give you that boost. And I know the last little while I've been struggling with between being sick and a sick family member and grandchildren and an injured mother. And it's so hard to stay on track. And the one thing I've realized is that you definitely need to, at some point, take charge and become more confident and understand what your strengths and your weaknesses are to make you more motivated to move forward. And that's what I need to do to get back on track. And persistence is so important, especially when you've got a worthwhile goal. And it's what we do with Landmark. We definitely do. I try to keep track of my clients' birth dates and that type of thing. And I've been tracking down a fellow that turns 51 on Monday just to make sure that he knew that sickness was still available to him. And finally caught up with him, and he was actually having lunch before he went out and did more corn. And as we talked, he was like, okay, we got 15 minutes, let's do this, and was able to set him up. So I think definitely persistence definitely helps when you do have the worthwhile goal. And I think as we keep moving forward, we're definitely taking charge and becoming more competent. And when you understand your strengths and weaknesses, it definitely makes you more motivated to learn and achieve and go forward. And I hope I answered your call or answered your question.
Well, you know what? For someone that admits that has short-term memory, you did an excellent job.
Oh, well, thank you.
Once in a while, you'll get lucky. You actually remember what's being shared. So, John, Betty, we admire you. You know, I have to say, one thing I respect is all the responsibilities you have. You know, you're not afraid to ask for help. I've seen you travel miles and miles and miles to work with people. I mean, you will seek out people to learn your craft, and that's why you've done extremely well. And I know that you're going to continue to do well, because it's not what happens to us in life that matters, it's how you deal with it. And you're really starting to handle your success. Yes, we can take a step back, but your progress on recovering and moving forward is fantastic. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, Betty. And I'm going to go to Chelsea. Chelsea, I'd like you to speak to this. Habit. Persistence is the direct result of habit. The mind absorbs and becomes a part of the daily experiences upon which it feeds. Habits make us who we are. Persistence then depends on having the right habits. Take an inventory of your daily life. Identify your habits and determine whether they help or hinder you. Then get to work on creating the habits that will create a life of decisive action. Motivation is what gets you started. Habit is what keeps you going. Habits succeed where even willpower fails. Can you speak to that, Chelsea?
Hi, good morning. Happy
morning.
Well, everybody has spoken so brilliantly so far, so I will
do my best here. We all, going through our day, have our, well, we learn through these calls about good habits that you can make, and reading good authors, and eating well, and planning out your day, getting up early, focusing on your goals, writing your goals down. If you make all these habits, then you are setting yourself up in the best position for success. One of the best habits that I'm working on is just get out of the car. Just don't think about it. Just get out of the car. That's then I don't need the willpower to let my head do all this thinking that it doesn't need to do, because there's a system in place and I know what I need to say, so I can just get out of the car and go do what I need to do. But when you can recognize that there are things throughout the day, and if you think, is this bringing me closer to my goals? And if it's not, then get rid of it. If it's something that you're doing every day and it's not helping you get to that place that you want to be, then get rid of it and start putting things in that are going to help you get there. Back to you, Greg.
Wow, you did a great job, Chelsea. I tell you, I know you got big shoes to fill. You got an amazing mentor that you're learning from, and the team, and I'll tell you, Chelsea, you're right on track. You know, we watch you, and you're growing, and you really are growing into your own success. So thanks for sharing your thoughts. And I'm going to go to Dorota, because Dorota, this is a quote from Gingrich. And it says, persistence is the hard work you do after the hard work you already did. Dorota, what does that mean to you? Are you there, Dorota? Okay, well, I know she's on the call. Maybe she's having technical difficulties. But I'm going to go to Adam. And I'd like you to speak to that, what Newt Gingrich said. Persistence is the hard work you do after the hard work you already did. When you think of that, especially in our business, what does that mean to you, Adam Brink?
Sure, Greg. That's an easy one after the one Betty just got. Persistence is the work you do after the work you do. Persistence is the application of your willpower. Persistence is your edge on your competition. Your persistence is your professionalism. Persistence is doing what you said you were going to do. And, you know, there's lots of this call that's been, you know, open to interpretation of this message or that, and it's persistence is what you came here to do, to persist, to see things through fruition. It's not that much more complicated than doing what you said you're going to do. And I know that seems easy. It's simple. It's not easy. It requires the strengthening of muscles. It requires practice, okay? Our points of reference are where we draw all of our lines. And if you build a habit of it being 4 o'clock and you're done, it's going to be hard to do that 9 o'clock appointment like Eileen did last night. That you string together 3 or 4 weeks in a row where you're writing bombs at 7:30, 8:30, 9:30 at night, and you realize that 40, 50, 60% of your income is written after, you know, 6 p.m., all of a sudden you start thinking what persistence does. You work Saturdays and look at what persistence does for your business. Persistence is the endeavor of the entrepreneur. I don't know how much more complicated it is than that. Everybody else that wants to have, you know, these nice lines drawn where it's the 9 to 5 and I get my $18 an hour, there's easier ways to make minimum wage. But if you're here to break those chains, to break out of that cage, you're here for a reason. And that reason is you believe you're capable of persisting through what most people will not do to get what most people will not get. And that's just the bottom line of it all. And so what, from my perspective, this is the topic of conversation that dictates people's futures and fate and all of the things that, you know, our belief system. When we are faced with adversity, what do you do? Do you fold or persist? When life inevitably happens to you, what do you do? Do you fold or persist? When these things happen, have you been creating a habit of throughout your life where you're positioning yourself so that it's easier to persist? Because the choices and decisions that we make today, they sort of lay the scaffolding for the stuff that happens tomorrow. And the decisions that we make today and the choices we make today set us up so that we're either strong in that capacity, we have it practiced in habit, where when it's time to act, we take action and you see it through, or you don't have that in habit, and then we start believing our own excuses and we listen to that little six-year-old in our head instead of the CEO. And so whomever it is, like, you know, you don't have to win every battle between those two, but on average, one of those two, the CEO or the six-year-old, on average, one of those is going to show up and win more often. And if you make sure that you're intent on having the one you want to win that battle more often than it loses that battle, inevitably it puts you on a track where you see what you need to see in order to believe, and you get support enough for you to believe that it's going to be there when you need it. And the results that you get make you believe that you can get those results when you need to get them. So that's back to you, Greg.
Adam, I love the way you closed the meeting on those thoughts. It really summarized what we talked about today. Well done. And we're literally at the 9 o'clock bell. I thought this call was an exceptional call. Your thoughts were very inspiring, and I'll tell you, this was, if we all drill down on this subject, most people will never be exposed to this conversation that we had today on the level we spoke to it. Jared, do you want to close the meeting on your final thoughts?
Yeah, excellent meeting, ladies and gentlemen. As most of you know, I've been here an extraordinarily long period of time, and I've loved every minute of it. And the reason I've loved every minute of it is because we were a company designed to do some amazing things. We wanted to provide an extraordinary service to the people that have been disenfranchised, the middle to high-risk self-employed. Nobody touches them except us. Nobody wants the risk. We take it. And we take it brilliantly well by providing services that are extraordinary. And then provide simultaneously the opportunity for each and every man or woman that we bring into our family, that we say, yes, we'd like to have you be a part of our business family, and we will help you achieve your goal. We are sincere about helping you achieve your goal. You just have to have a goal and have that persistence to stick with it, with our support and help that you get there. I'm proud to tell you, since 1971, so many men and women did so brilliantly well, retired so exceptionally well, emotionally and financially, with their families, and when they're no longer with us, the families were well taken care of. Man, that is spectacular. That's what we originally designed over 50 years ago. And these products stay the same. The philosophy of the company stays the same. As long as you're willing to do a couple of things. Greg, you said one sentence earlier, maybe 59 minutes ago. Brilliant. Do what you know you need to do, no matter what mood you're in. Somebody just brought it up a moment ago. I don't know if it was Chelsea or it was Chelsea, I think, said, I just do it automatically because the system gives me that energy. It's hard to do sometimes when you're not in the mood, but the level of excellence of anybody is you do what you need to do regardless of what mood you're in, because the moment you begin to start doing whatever it is that you're doing, such as making a call, you're in the mood. And your excellence starts to grow to a higher level, even higher than you even expect it to be.
because you have that persistence. You do what you need to do. Regardless of the mood you're in, you do it. We based an entire corporation, a multi-million dollar philosophy, and it worked everywhere, and it went to the UK. We did it exactly the same way. Nobody will ever fail. Nobody has ever failed not being successful in our business who made 20 presentations every week, stuck with the customer and closed prospect and closed on emotion. When you put that ideology together, that's why everyone can be great in this business and build your dreams and go for it. Because if you don't, it's just wishful thinking. You brought that up earlier, Greg. It's just wishing, hoping, and wondering why not. Maybe I'll win the lottery. Well, the whole world is filled with 95% of the people hoping, wishing, wishing, and hoping. You do what you need to do with our support and our help, and we'll help you get there. There are people on this call. John O'Keefe, you could have retired 20 years ago. Is that a fair statement, John?
That's a fair statement.
And look how wealthy and successful you become, and you're still very active. And I could go around the room, and many of you on this call. Fred Flaxman, you could have retired 20 years ago. Is that fair, Craig? Fred? Well, Fred.
It sure is. Yeah, but it sure is, Jerry.
I didn't mean to wake you, Fred. Fred, why didn't
I'm mesmerized.
Why didn't you retire, Fred? Why didn't you retire?
I love what I do. I love who I serve, and it has just been a really fulfilling career. The opportunity to be a service to the type of people we were a service to, and become I wouldn't say wealthy, but to be very comfortable from being a service to other people. Nothing can be better than that. And that's why I still do it today. I love it. I love the people we work with.
Well, with the income you have from your residuals, that's considered wealth in any environment. So, ladies and gentlemen, I just share with all of you, it's an honor for me to be a part of your professional lives. It's an honor for me to be able to be of service to you in any way that we can. As long as you depend on yourself and believe in yourself, let us help you believe stronger in yourself, how you can achieve your goals. As Napoleon Hill said, and this is, I'm closing it with this, Greg, whatever your mind can conceive and you believe, you can achieve. And with our help, we'll guarantee you'll get there. Back to you, Greg.
Wow. Great meeting, and I appreciate your final thoughts, Jerry. After 60-plus years, you've worked with all kinds of people in your career, and your passion has not changed, and your belief in the values to be successful hasn't changed either. And I'll end with a thought of a quote that I love is, success is not the absence of failure, it's the persistence through failure. On that note, have a great day, and bye for now.
Goodbye.